Morning. So as we were worshipping, I was distracted in a good way. I was watching a little boy trying to find his place in a new church this morning, and his mum trying to help him. And I wanted to go and help him too. I just felt this compassion for this boy as he was going, where am I? Which way should I go? And then I just felt the Spirit of God saying to me that there are many lost boys in the church this morning. Maybe men who are no longer boys, but inside you're trying to find your place. You're trying to find a sense of direction, a sense of security. And God in heaven is looking down on you, and He is concerned for you, and He wants to help you. And He wants you to know Him. And that's what I want to speak about today. Barack Obama, the 44th president of the United States, wrote a book called Dreams from My Father, an honest written account of Barack Obama's search for the father that he never really knew. It's a picture of Barack Obama with his dad. This picture, spent a couple of weeks with him. Didn't spend a lot of time with him before that. Didn't spend a lot of time with him after that. In fact, I don't think he ever saw him again. And even though he became the president of the United States, in his heart, he was like a lost boy, searching for his dad. And he said on Father's Day 2008, he said these words, "If we are honest with ourselves, we'll admit that too many fathers are missing. They have abandoned their responsibilities, acting like boys instead of men. And the foundation of our family life and our society is weaker because of it." Perhaps we could add to that, acting like lost boys instead of men who know the Father. So there's a cry for the Father, and it's not a surprise that this cry is in the heart of every man and every woman, every boy and every girl, because we have been created by God. We have been made in His image. And if we do not know Him, then there is a lifelong longing. There's a lifelong father-shaped hole in every one of us. It has implications for the whole of society. The Center for Social Justice, set up by Ian Duncan Smith. Just read the statistics there. They're not good. When fathers are absent. And sometimes, even within the family, fathers can be present but still absent. They can be very busy doing important things but still absent. Or perhaps fathers are absent through bereavement, through ill health. And these are all tragedies. When these things happen. But also within the church, there is a need for more fathers. There came a point in my life, in my early 20s, when I was looking for answers, and I knew that my father could not provide these answers. I have a great father, a wonderful, loving father, but my father did not have answers to the questions that were on my heart. And thank God that I found spiritual fathers that would guide me in the ways of the Lord. But this parable is written to leaders, to religious leaders. This parable is to the Pharisees, who, if you like, were the spiritual fathers of Israel. But they had no compassion for the lost. They had no compassion for the broken. And even Ezekiel says, you know, as spiritual leaders, you need to go out looking for the lost sheep. So within society, within the family, within the church, there is a cry for the Father. But the good news this morning is this. This is what the Lord says, that He is a Father to the fatherless. That's how He describes Himself. He says, I am a Father to the fatherless. And that is good news this morning. But it's only good news if we can discover who He is. It's only good news if we can meet Him personally. And the good news is this, that the transcendent God who made the whole universe wants to be known as Father. And if you speak about the Milky Way and it's 1,000 light years away, God made all that. He's that big. He's that powerful. Our God is indeed a great big God. But He accommodates Himself to us. And He says, think of me like a father. He is a relational God. And sometimes in life we can go through deep anguish. We can go through deep problems. And in these moments, we say, does anybody really care? Does God really care? And God says, yes, I care. Think of me like a perfect dad. But how can we get to know this God who has made the universe in all its power? How can we get to know Him? It seems almost impossible. But He sent His Son, Jesus, so that we could get to know Him. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Philip was listening to Jesus say these words, and he said, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. If we knew the Father, everything else would fit into place. And the whole of Jesus' ministry is about revealing the Father God to us. He says that He knows the Father so well that He is so well qualified to show Him to us. And He says that the relationship I have with my Father is the same kind of relationship that you can have with Him. That I would be in the Father and the Father would be in me and you would be in us. Close, personal, relational. But what, when Philip says, show us the Father, Jesus does show us the Father in this parable. This parable is a story about two lost sons, both equally lost. One returns to the Father. The other one remains close to the Father, but is totally absent from Him. But what can we learn about the Father through this parable? First of all, we see that the Father is patient. Remember, this is an analogy. This is a picture. Engineers here this morning, I know engineers, they love to analyze to great depth, but take in the big picture of what God is saying. He's talking about His character. This morning, may God exalt His character through His word. First of all, God is patient. Because when the son comes to the father and asks for the inheritance, it's as if he says, drop dead. drop dead. I know in our culture, maybe to minimize inheritance tax, it might be reasonable in some circumstances to release some of the capital earlier on in life. But in a Middle Eastern context, this is a great insult to ask this question of his father. And we see here that the elder son is not intervening. The elder son's responsibility would be to defend the father in that situation. The elder son says nothing. He's silent. The father alone remains dignified. What is patience? Patience is suffering. Patience comes from the word suffering. It's a state of suffering with fortitude, the ability to endure evils without complaining. And certainly this father is suffering. What is happening here? First of all, there's the rejection of his person. I don't want you, I want the money. Are you here in church today as a Christian because you want relationship with the Father? Or do you want the benefits of relationship? Do you want the forgiveness of your sins? We all do, don't we? Do you want eternal life? We all do. But do you want him? Do you want to know him? The son says, I don't want you, I want your money. I don't care if you live or die, I reject you. And then the rejection of history. In a Middle Eastern context, the family farm, it goes back generations to generations, and now part of the farm is being sold off. It's like saying, our family history means nothing to me. But what is the father's response? The father's response is to let the boy go. It's to say, I love you, and I give you freedom to go. But you will have to suffer the consequences of your decision. And doesn't Father God do that with us as well? Sometimes he just lets us go and he allows us to learn the hard way. But he would love us to go for plan A, which is to obey his revealed word. God hands us over, says in Romans 1, to the consequences of our own decisions, and there is suffering which could be avoided. But the Father does not force us to love him. He is patient, and he's waiting. From the moment that boy left, he was longing for him to return. While he was still a long way off, the father saw him. Did he look every single day for that boy? Is that not what God does for us? Doesn't he whisper to us, I want you back. Restore that first love. He doesn't force us, but he wants us back. The father is compassionate. Well, the boy was still a long way off. The father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. What is that word, compassion? It's more than pity. It's like a gut-wrenching emotion. Middle Eastern people would speak about feeling within their bowels, feeling within their intestines. Have you ever had a gut-wrenching love for someone? Maybe like a mother or a father whose child runs out to the road. You don't even have to think about it. You're off. You're rescuing that child. You know the story of Derek Redmond in the Olympic Games in Barcelona in 1992? He was 100 meters into the 400-meter race. and he fell on the track, having torn his hamstring. Do you remember the scene? You can watch it on YouTube. The father jumps over the barrier. The security guard tries to stop him. He pushes the security guard over, and he runs onto the track. And he gets his son, and he puts his son's arm around him, and the two of them finish the race. At this point, the crowd have stopped watching the elites. One, two, three. They're watching the father's compassion, and they're cheering. Psalm 103, verse 13, as the father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. You see, he is not a indifferent father. He is not a let's wait and see father. He's a running father. As soon as he sees that boy, he runs to meet him. He takes the initiative. He doesn't wait until we reform our ways, because he is our Father. And he wins us over with his initiative and with his generosity and with his grace. The Bible says that while we were still in the depths of rebellion, still in the depths of indifference towards God, God sent his son to die for us. While we were still sinners, he runs towards us in Jesus. And Jesus dies for us. He's an affectionate father. This is the parable. This is what the parable says. Is God an affectionate God? Is God a distant God? Does God feel? Does God feel pain? Of course God feels pain. Just read the Old Testament. God is in anguish over the rebellion of his children, all the way through the Old Testament. He's gracious, he's compassionate, he's slow to anger, he's abounding in love. But Jesus says that the Father runs, he throws his arms around his son, and he kisses him. The literal translation of that is, he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And let us be clear that that tells us something about God's desire for intimacy with us. And that intimacy today comes through his Spirit. As we pray, as we read his word, that sometimes he draws near to us. The first time I ever experienced the Holy Spirit was on my baptism day. The first time I became aware of him in my feelings, and it was on my neck and on my shoulders. And then he gave me power to tell people how much I loved him. And when the apostles were preaching in Acts chapter 10 to Cornelius and his family, it says that even in the middle of the sermon, that the Holy Spirit fell on them. And the affectionate, loving God wants to be upon us today. Be upon us, Holy Spirit, and exalt the Father today. He's a forgiving God. He's a forgiving Father. He doesn't even ask for an explanation. His actions demonstrate his forgiveness. Love is actions, more than words. God's love is demonstrated to us in the death of His Son on the cross. How do we know that God loves us? Because His Son went through agony for us on the cross. The Father went through as much agony as the Son. It's in His actions that He demonstrates that He loves us. And His actions here in this parable demonstrate forgiveness. The Son is no doubt taken aback, but He is in no doubt that the Father is forgiving Him. The Father is not only forgiving Him, He's protecting Him. Do you know, in the Garden of Eden, when they were banished from the garden and they were naked and they felt a sense of shame, what does God do? He clothes them. And as this lost boy comes home, what does the Father do? He gives him a protective robe. That robe was a way of symbolizing to the whole village, leave him alone. There is no condemnation for those who return to the Father. He's my son. And He gives him the ring. The ring, the Father's ring. He belongs to me. Leave him alone. Stop criticizing him. He's coming home to the Father's house. The Father is extravagant. The Father is killing the fatted calf. This fatted calf would feed well over 100 people, and it had to be eaten quickly because they didn't have refrigerators. And there's an extravagant party, a rejoicing time. And this parable is saying to the spiritual fathers of Israel, the lost coin, there was a party. The lost sheep who returned, there was a party. But the coin and the sheep didn't have any part in being found. But the Son came to His senses, and He has returned to the Father. So let us rejoice and let us celebrate. What is God like? The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love and faithfulness. When we think about what God is really like, the first word that should come into our head is love. Maintaining love to thousands. But yet He is also a God that must punish rebellion and sin. So let's go beyond this parable. How does God welcome back the rebel, welcome back the lost, without compromising His justice? He does it through the cross, because as Jesus, the perfect Son of God, died on the cross, God's love was demonstrated. But also God's justice was satisfied as the perfect one died in the place of the rebel. We all have turned away from the Father, but we all may return to the Father through Jesus the Son. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. So this morning, will you return to the Father? How do we return to the Father? First of all, we need to come to our senses. We need to pray for a spiritual awakening, that God would show us that life is found in relationship with God. We can look for life in other places, and they will be satisfying for a time, but our very DNA is linked to the God who made us in His image. And so we need to have that wisdom, that understanding that we need to return to our Father. In verse 17, we have these words. He came to his senses. How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father. So step one is to realize that we need to return. And then we need to make a conscious decision to turn away from a life of independence from him, indifference from him, or even willful lifestyle in the knowledge that it's wrong. And the wonderful thing is this returning is not dependent on any human father. It's dependent on God who says, I am like a father to you. So we turn back to him, just like the prodigal did. But as we turn back to him, let us also, like the prodigal, understand sin. He says, I have sinned against heaven and against you. The most important thing to know about sin is not so much what it does to you or what it does to others, but what it does to God. And although the Father is silent for most of this parable, let us be clear, the Father is brokenhearted. And when the Son says, I have sinned against you, he is acknowledging the broken heart of the Father. And as we return to God today, let us understand how great is his hurt and how great is his provision for us in his Son, who was hurt even unto death on the cross for us. And then trust in his character, that those who return to him, he will not turn anyone away. Trust in his gift. He just wants us to come back. He just wants us to come back. I want you back, is his message to us today. And that, you might think, well, I haven't gone away. I haven't broken any major sins. I haven't broken any major laws. I've come to church every week. I've done great things for God. But do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? Because he knows you, and he wants you closer today. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for who you are. And we confess today that we need you. We confess today not only that we need you, but that we want you. And we thank you that in our helplessness, you heard our cry. That as we wandered, even in the church, like that little boy today, wandering around the church, sometimes we're wandering even in the church, and you see us, and you say, I want to help you. I am your father. And Lord, we want to be your sons. We want to be your daughters. And we receive your gifts to us today. We turn back to you. And we thank you that you've done everything possible for our return. We thank you that you've gone to extraordinary lengths in sending your Son to the cross that we may return. And we trust in what he has done for us. And we receive your forgiveness. And now we receive your love. Come, Holy Spirit, into our hearts and fill us with your love. Put upon us that robe that protection there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Lord, let us leave this place today no longer doubting but living in your love. So we thank you, and we want to praise you. Lift up our hearts to praise you, gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. We lift up our hearts to you, Jesus. Thank you for showing us the Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, draw us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.